Before I even begin, I want to say this. You know, when Joseph went to Egypt, they said to him, or he said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Whatever is happening right now in the nations of the earth, remember, we're talking about the nations of the earth. Whatever is happening right now, even though the enemy means it for evil, but yet God meant it for good. And in the midst of what's happening right now, I believe, and I'm sure many of you believe here, sitting here right now, you believe, you and I believe, that in the midst of this storm, God is going to turn it around for good. And you say amen. When the devil had Jesus crucified, he thought, you know, when the people put Jesus on the cross, they thought they were doing a great thing. But Corinthians tells us that if they, you know, but that's because it's the wisdom of the world, but they didn't know. They thought they had it all under control and everything. They thought they were doing the good thing. But in fact, let me find that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 2. Let's start from verse 6 onwards. It says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Can you say amen? If they had known, they would not have crucified Jesus. But yet the crucifixion looks like it's the lowest point, God himself dying, but yet it was the greatest thing for us because God knew exactly what he was doing. God is in control. So I want to rest assured that whatever happens, God is in control and God has a plan and it will come to pass. Amen? Now with this, my topic is not the virus this morning, okay? This is not the message, okay? But I must mention a few things here is, you know, when we look at what's happening now, there's quite a lot of panic all over the world. The question is, when you and I read the book of Revelation, and plagues, the seven trumpets and the seven bowls of wrath, when we read about what's happening there, just reading it, compared to what's happening right now, you can't really put the two together. This is ponder with the things that's happening. How much more? But the thing is, it's not how bad it's going to be in the book of Revelation. Is when I read the book of Revelation, what's my future as far as when this happens? What does God say about his church? What does God say about his people? Are we condemned? Are we doomed? Are we, you know? And that's why one of those key books, we are living in the last of the last days. And it's essential that we're grounded, that we know our future, that we are secured in Christ, that even in the midst of everything, God will still preserve. Amen. Amen. So our shelter is in him. Our protection is in God. All right. Let me see. Let me start by reading Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. All right, we've got this on the screen. It says this. I'll say this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about, I believe with what's happening right now, though the enemy meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And God is using this right now to wake us up. So it's a wake-up call. Everybody say, wake-up call. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Who is that? Jesus, to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, everybody say, in this place, I will give peace. Everybody say, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. All right, in this place. Oh, I'm not sure how to do this morning because there are too many things to say with what's happening. But he and the latter glory will be better than the former glory. Amen. Let me read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to 27. Just going to read a few verses first. And Hebrews is quoting from there, obviously. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Who is speaking? God is speaking. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So God is shaking everything that can be shaken so that those things that cannot be shaken. So what is God doing right now? He is shaking. What is he shaking? Everything. All right. Now we know that at this time, many things have been canceled, meetings, all kinds of things. Schools are going like unis going online and all kinds of things are closing down. Events are being forced to be shut down. Churches are being forced to have online services. People are going out and, you know, filling up stock. Don't know about toilet paper. Don't know what this business is. Well, the business is for their own business at home, so. But we're living in a time right now. I mean, who would have thought a few months ago that we would be talking about this right now? With everything that's being set up in our own nation. So God is clearly trying to get our attention at this time. I believe that the reality of this thing that's happening right now, it has created an awareness of how fragile we as human beings are. Looks like the fear is crippling people more than anything. Virus and all kinds of things, that's what's really crippling people at the moment. So my question is this. And like I said, I'm not too sure how to do this morning, but, you know, at this time, people are being more aware. Some people are dying, perhaps some of the older people. We hear there are Christians that have died from this virus as well. So what's the whole thing about? Is the whole thing about coronavirus? Is that what it's all about? Because anything can happen to any of us at any time. It's just dying, a nation, and things are happening around the world. People realize that, hey, we can go anytime. There's such a fear. It's like, oh, what if I catch this and die? Or what if my parents grab this? Or what if this happen? Or anytime, anywhere, and whenever, as he pleases, as he calls, as he pulls the triggers, as he wills. So I don't think it's so much the coronavirus, is whether we are ready to meet God, and it's causing people to now think, hang on, death is at the door. Death is everywhere. You look here, you look here. I mean, whether we're going to die or not, but that thought is what's crippling people. Even for Christians. So it's a great reminder for us at this time that our lives is in God's hands. It's not just especially because of the coronavirus. Now I got to think about it. But it's reminding all of us, as well as I am, that, hey, hang on. Don't be presumptuous. Don't be proud about things. Don't, you know, think about, oh, everything's going to work. No, don't say, oh, I'm still young. There are many more years waiting for me. We don't know that. And that's a fact. And I'm not trying to say that to put fear, because at some point, each and every one of us will have to go unless you're here when Jesus returns. I'm not trying to instill fear in any way of any sort, but I'm asking a reality that, hey, anything can happen with or without the virus. So I think God is shaking us in that sense. All right. I'm going to show you a picture right now here, hopefully. This is a picture of a house. Oh, maybe not this one. Okay, when you look at this house, just try. Beautiful, right? I almost wanted to tell you it's my home, but it's not. All right, anyway. So when you look at this house from the outside, does it look great, beautiful, nice display house, isn't it? Okay? The thing is, at a quick glance, from this distance, all right, without it looks new, looks great. Right? If there were any problems in this house, probably wouldn't know, would we? Is that true? Let's be honest, right? Unless you had someone go and inspect the house and make sure everything is proper, all right? So when you look at this, as long as the weather is great, as long as it's sunshine and hardly any wind, it's just beautiful, the most perfect weather, would the house be in jeopardized in any way? Would it be in some form of danger of, I don't know, something leaking or anything like that as far as weather is concerned? No, right? But the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, 24 to 26, it says, he who hears these words of mine is likened like a wise man who hears these words, and what does he do? He builds his house on the rock. But what I want to emphasize here is this. There are three things that comes to test the building, to test the house. And it's the rain, the floods, and the winds. We all know that, right? It's in red. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And we know the other part of the scripture where when the house is built on the sand, the same thing comes to test the house, but it falls because it didn't have the right foundation. We're very familiar to this verse, I know. Floods and the winds. So if I take those three things forever, the house looks like it's great. No problems. But when the rain and the flood comes, okay, we can try and go to the next slide here. It looks something like this. I don't know if you can't really see the rain. But anyway, doesn't matter. The guy disappears and he's not standing anymore. All right. But my point is this. If we can go to the next one here. Next one, is that as long as there is good weather, the house won't seem to have any issues. A lot of the issues that the house may have will not appear until the storms comes to reveal the real condition of the house. Let me give you an example, okay? This is a real example, okay? If you had problems in your roof, all right, and if rain started to pour down heavily, all right, and you've got issues in your roof, what's going to happen? It's going to leak into the house, right? But if the rain is never there, we would never know that there was an issue with the roof. It's quite fair to say, isn't it? Like I said, unless you had someone specifically go out and knows about the roofing or somehow you spotted something. If you don't know about this, long as the weather is good, we don't see it. But when the storm comes, it comes to reveal the real condition and things happen. The ceiling can collapse. Water can leak inside the house. All kinds of problems begins to appear. Is this making sense? What am I trying to say this morning? The real condition of mankind has always been the same. But when the virus appeared, it revealed the real condition of mankind. Fear, panic, no security. So what is this thing doing right now? What is God doing right now? He's shaking everything that can be shaken. Christians and non-Christians. This will reveal a lot about ourselves. And as a result, it will cause us to take action. Either we need to reestablish our foundation, whether there are some things we need to let go, something we need to shake off, or things we need to completely change in our lives. That's what God is doing. God is shaking so He can shift us, change us, realign us, refire us in what He has in store for us. Can you say amen? But in this time of shaking, what is God doing? I believe He's number one, and I want to share 3 points with you this morning. God is watching our response. Everybody say, God is watching our response. So what I mean by that is God is watching how we respond to the situation. And based on how we respond will determine on the action that obviously we need to take. For example, when we look at the life of Abraham and Isaac, what did Abraham do? He took Isaac up to the mountain. He was told by God to sacrifice His only begotten son, Isaac. Is that true? But did God actually want him to do it? No, right? At the very point of when he was going to do it, what did God do? He stopped him. He says, now I know you fear me. All right? And then what? God provided the sacrifice. So God wants to see, how do we respond in times like this? Are we fearful or faithful? What about Gideon and his 32,000, army of 32,000 in Judges chapter 7? Let's see if I can turn there. I don't have the verses on the screen. But if we go to Judges chapter 7. So Gideon had an army of 32,000. And look what's happening in verse 4, chapter 7. I hope you're following with what I'm saying this morning so far. And God is shaking and God is watching at our response. How are we going to respond to what God is doing? Let's see. In verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, the one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself, likewise everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, verse 6, putting their hands to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord in verse 7 said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianite in your hand. Let all the other people go and every man to his place. God is looking at how we respond. At this time, are we going to be the 300 or are we going to be part of the rest? One more example, the 12 spies, when they were asked to go in to spy out the land, they sent 12 spies. How many? 12 spies. And we don't need to read the story. I'm quite positive that you're very familiar with the story. The 10 spies came back. What did they say? The giants, we can't take the land. All right? Two of them came back. What did they say? The land God has given us, we can do it. Only believe the Lord, God, and we can do it. But the 10 said, no, surely we die. And they convinced the people, they convinced the rest of all the people to believe them. All right? And what happened as a result? And to turn from faith to disbelief, unbelief, fear, doubt. To the point that, you know what they said? Let's appoint ourselves a leader and let us go back to Egypt. For in Egypt, we were better off. We had meat to eat. We had everything we needed. Wow, that's God. Can you imagine? God took them out from Egypt, opened the Red Sea, defeated Egypt, and bringing them to the promised land. And now the people are saying, you know what? I want to go back to bondage and slavery. I want to go back to Egypt. Wow. What an insult. Think about it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm any better than they are, but when you look at the story, you have to be real. That's quite, oh, wow. Wow. And sometimes we can behave like this. Hey, right? But when you think about it, how would have God felt? It would be one of the greatest insults, wouldn't it? So, what am I saying here? How do we respond? See, the majority, there were 12, but 10 was the majority. The majority of people around the world, what are they saying right now? Is that what God is saying? That's why at this point of time, it is so essential for us to know what God is saying. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches through what the Lord is saying and through His prophets, because He will confirm His word through the prophets. So even if the majority are saying this and this and that, but if I know what God is saying, and even if I'm part of the minority, I will still stand like Joshua and Caleb. Can you say amen? At the start of the year, I believe that God has been preparing us. God has been giving us many things in the past, setting us up for times like this and beyond. We declare at the start of the year that it is a new era, it is a new decade. Now, in my mind, in your mind, how much do we believe, first of all, that it is true? And second of all, who would have expected that it would turn out to be the way we're living right now? What we are experiencing right now is just the beginning, I believe, of this new era that we've been declaring without really knowing what exactly that new era is going to look like. All right, no one is claiming to know exactly what it's going to look like, what's going to happen, but we are living right into it. We're actually entering into that prophetic word, a new era, a new decade, and God is seriously doing something completely different, whether it's in the world or within the church. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. God is watching at how we respond at this time. And God is moving. It's the new move of God. And when God moves, when God is doing a new thing, what do you expect? What do you and I expect? We need to expect stretching. So God right now is stretching you and I. Should we meet? Should we not meet? Should we listen to the recommendations? Are we going against the law? Are we rebelling? Are we in rebellion? Like I said, I think Adrian made a point earlier. We are doing everything we can to comply and to do the right thing. We're not trying to act above the law in any way. We're not trying to be arrogant in any way. And we don't disrespect or any other church that can't meet, all right? And whatever they're doing, it's fine, right? Big churches obviously can't meet, anything like that. Not trying to say that, okay? But who would have thought that right now God is really stretching us? Really, really stretching us. I mean, things are just happening like this. I mean, the news is changing. Do you agree that the news is just changing every day and it's everywhere is different? You're trying to keep up with this. I mean, wow, it just can be very overwhelming. Let's be real. That's why it's important to hear what God is saying above what everything is happening. But when you think about it, wow, things can just happen just like this. So stretching, God is stretching. One of the past messages that we shared was about, if you can show the picture here, we talked about the new wine skin and the old wine skin. All right? With old wine skin, what will happen when the new wine is put in there is going to strain and it's going to burst. But if you have new wine skin, it will be able to contain and receive the stretching of the new wine. So God is stretching us right now. How do we respond? Are we coming in trying to hold on and hold fast to the old ways and to trying to hold fast to things that God is actually trying to shake off? And now when I say God is shaking, I don't just mean the world. I believe God is shaking the world and the church right now. Everything. 2 Chronicles 20:20, as we have been declaring this over and over again, believe the Lord your God and you shall be established, and believe His prophets and you shall prosper. Now is the time. You can see how so important it is to be hearing God over the voice of the enemy. Otherwise, fear will begin to creep in. Point number two. So God is looking at our response. He's checking how we respond. And look, wherever we're at right now, God is a merciful God. Okay, everyone is at different levels, and we're not expecting everyone to, you know, suddenly be, you know, up to, you know, everything. But in whatever thing God is shaking, we need to respond accordingly. All right? And if we need to repent, we need to repent. If we've been living in fear, then we need to press on and say, we're going to start declaring what God is saying. You know, it's going to create some adjustment in our lives, you know? And expect to be here this Sunday, not here anyway. You know, the thought did occur early in the week. I was like, oh, what if Murdoch cancels it, you know? But we didn't plan this. And it just all happened on, what, was it Thursday? Thursday, we had to, wow, just rearrange everything, all right? And all I'm trying to say is what, when God stretches, when God does all these things, are we willing? Are we going to say, oh, are we going to cry over it? Like, obviously, we're not going to cry over it, okay? Or we could say it's too bothersome. Let's not just me. Let's just call a WhatsApp call. Now, look, I'm going to sidetrack here. I'm going to make a mention of this here. I believe God is shaking everything that can be shaken, all right? And like I said, many churches now are being forced. They're not doing it just because they want to, because that's their only way at this point to meet online. And I don't have an issue with that. But I have a warning about this in future, is that people will begin to think that online services is the way to go and that we don't need to meet. And I can just sit on my computer and just be part of a church, which I would not encourage at all, because the scriptures make it very clear. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves. So at this point right now, there are no choices. So we understand what's happening, right? And we understand what the churches are doing. But when it comes to a place where we can meet, people and Christians should not take it and say, oh, you know, well, I can always go online and be part of the service online. I think we got to be very careful with these kind of things, even though God, new things are happening out of what things to go online, because we are people. If I only had a relationship with you based on an online WhatsApp group conversation, chat, or videos or whatnot, you know, it's nothing like a real relationship when if we meet each other, if we, you know, interact with each other on a real personal, on a real, real level. Anyway, that's a side thing. Okay. All right, let's go back. Number two, in this shaking right now, in God calling us to wake up, there's a call to the centrality of Christ. As we have read from Chuck Pierce, God is causing us doing, whether it's a church thing or whether it's not a church thing, whether it's a, whatever it may be. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, do I have it there? It says there, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? In the Spirit, and then in the process of time, we're trying to complete things in the flesh. And as long as we try to accomplish things in the flesh, you and I know we will fail. But yet, when God has anointed us in a certain things, we build skills and we build abilities to do what God asks us to do, to a point where we can start relying on the giftings, on the skills that we have acquired, and this and this and this and that, without depending on the Holy Spirit anymore. How could these things, and I'm asking you and I to think this, I'm not saying this to you, these are real questions right now. Where in our lives have we lost the centrality of Christ that we could be serving God, doing what seems to be godly, doing the right thing, but yet in the midst of that, we have lost our focus on Jesus and we are focusing on the ministry rather than on Christ? How are we depending on our own strength? I'm a great encourager. So I encourage people. But yet my eyes have been focused on just encouraging people. I don't think I'm an encourager, just using that example. But, you know, you're doing that and losing focus on Christ. Now, when I look at what's happening right now, many of you and I know that many events have had to be canceled. Obviously, here in Australia, I think anything in terms of internal meeting, 100. Or any other meetings, I think external will be, 500? Yeah? So what have had to be canceled? You can imagine sports have been canceled. So if you're like tennis, the ADP is on hold for 6 months, right? Basketball, you name it. All, anything that's big stadium events, all have had to be canceled. Is that true? Right? Now, what, I ask you a question. You and I know the answer. So let's go to your answer first, okay? So who is the centrality of all that we do? Who should it be? Come on, shout it out. Come on. You and I agree it's Jesus, right? Okay, it's even the Sunday school would have known that they had to say Jesus. Where are they? Okay, that's the first. Anything. Who's the bad guy? God. Jesus. That's the only thing they know. Jesus. Okay, anyway. All right. I'll ask you, who is supposed to come? Help me here. Who is supposed to be the central figure of everything we do? You and I know the answer very clearly. Shout it out.
Jesus.
Okay. All right. Now, the next question is, what has been the centrality of the world right now? And because we are part of this world, I'm going to include us in there. I'm not going to pretend like, oh, they're the world, they are the only ones. But I'm going to include us in there because that's a reality. What has been the centrality of the world for such a long time? Okay, well, coronavirus. Okay, before the coronavirus, okay? Before this arrives, sports. Right, sure.
Money.
Entertainment. Education. Career, all these things. So that has become, that's what people identify with, sin, to have fun, to do all kinds of sin. And if you're part of that, you're part of the cool people. If you're not doing that, then you're a little bit weird. Something's not right with you, all right? So that has become the centrality, money, all right? But now, all of these things, or many of these things, like education, you talk about sports, you talk about whatever, all these things, are these evil in themselves? Is money evil in itself? No. But what does the Bible tell us? The love of money is the root of all evil. So the question is this, is not to say that these things are sinful in themselves, but the love and the priority and the preeminence of those things over Christ has made that become an idolatry. And what do you think God is doing? God is shaking everything that can be shaken, whether it's in a church setting or in the world. I'm going to keep repeating that. Okay? God is challenging us in many things. So the centrality must be Christ. So now God has given us the whole world to think for a moment, to pause for a moment, the church to pause. In the midst of all the activities that we have been involved in, is Christ truly the center? Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 talks about the centrality of the throne of God right in the middle. And around the throne are 24 elders, 4 living creatures, the angels, the rainbow, the thunderings and everything that's happening, the sea of glass, the multitudes, just worshiping God in this place, in that place. Where is Christ? Is in the very center. Christ is in the midst. Where is Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 1? He's in the midst of the 7 lampstands, which is in the midst of the 7 churches. Christ is right, and he desires to be right in the midst. And so we want to ask God to help us to check our own lives personally as a church, to bring the centrality back into our lives as it ought to be. Okay, let me just do the last one here. It's a call to awake from sleep. Like I said, this is not a fear trick here that I'm trying to, not playing that card, to trying to get a response from people by creating some kind of, if I don't do this, then this will happen to me, all right? But it is a time to wake up from our sleep. We are living in the last of the last days. Things are just escalating. Things are just happening so fast. And you with what has just happened, things can just turn in just a moment, just like that. So what are we doing with our lives? We're called to be alert. I want to read, at this time, we've got to be of the day and not of the night. And this, and I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. I'm going to bring this to a landing here somehow. It says, concerning the times. Now, hope you can follow this with me, okay? Just give me just a few more minutes. But concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. How is the day of the Lord? As a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Sudden. Can you see that? Suddenly things happen. Sudden as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, everybody say, but. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So hang on, Jesus comes in as a thief in the night, but you hang on, you are not of the night, you're not of the darkness, so that you should be overtaken. In next verse, it says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Amen. Amen. The Bible is very clear. Don't be of the darkness. You're not of the darkness. You are of the day. Now, those who sleep, they sleep at night. Those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. So the watchmen, what was the job of the watchmen in the scriptures? They would have to station themselves. They would have to be set apart from the people that they are, akin to, right? They had to come out and watch in the night. They had to be separated to be able to warn of the things that are coming. So you and I are being called to be set apart from this world, set apart from the norm of life, to be set apart so we can watch and be ready, because we are not called to be of darkness, we are called to be of the light. Can you say amen? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 to 14, it says, for you were once darkness. You were once darkness, that's true. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of some of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things are exposed and made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It is time for us to wake, I believe. All right? And now it seems like with everything happening, it's like, oh, now I'm praying more. I should have been praying more to begin with. You see what I'm kind of saying? It's like, because of this is happening now, suddenly now I'm praying more than I normally would. But I should have been praying as much without this happening. Do you know what I'm saying? God is shaking everything that can be shaken. I'm just trying to be very real here. You got to admit that every one of us, because of what has happened, we've had to consider a few things. I've been thinking about it, not in a negative way. So God is calling us, watching how we respond. God is stretching us. God is calling us to come back to the centrality of Christ, and God is calling us to awake from our sleep. And now is the time to be strong as a church, I believe. Now is the time for us to, you know, sort out things, put order in the house, get things right. Because you and I know anything can happen. I mean, if I'm not saying that it's always been like this, but this brings a highlight of that. Truly anything can happen. If anyone here, okay, all right, but I'm only saying that because anything is possible. If anyone here, all right, were to catch this virus and go off to be with the Lord, is that possible? It is. But my thing is, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's that or not, the reality is we will meet the Lord. But do I wait? Do I do something only now because, oh, virus? Or God is really telling us something, I believe. Hey, get things right. Don't delay. Now is no more time to delay now. Now is not a time to delay. In fact, the church is at its place where the church needs to be the strongest at this time and be there for the community. All right? And I'm determined to do that and take measures to do that. Amen? All right? The church now has the greatest opportunity to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and the powers in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So let me, if I can ask the musicians here to come. Shall we rise to our feet this morning? Or morning, wow, this is just a paradigm shift. I mean, God is just stretching, morning. See that? So easy to say morning because every time I share like this, it's always morning. But it's not morning. So am I in the flesh or in the spirit? God knows. So my encouragement to every one of us here is, first, let's consider ourselves. Let's respond well, number one. And let's choose to be a faith rather than a fear. Amen? Yep. With many words of encouragement, faith will begin to rise from our hearts. We know that you're shaking everything that can be shaken right now. And shaking will cause stretching to come, things that are uncomfortable, things that we're not used to, things that we don't necessarily look for. But Lord, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, give us the grace right now to handle challenges, to handle everything that's coming our way right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that whatever is happening right now is for the better, yes. It's for the best. Yes. Yes. You know, this is a real thing. You know, some of the hardest times in my life, as I'm talking about as a Christian, okay, the challenges that we go through, okay, we all go through them. All right. Everybody goes through them. But the hardest time in my life was the time where God stretched me the most and caused me to grow the most. It's in those times, you know, God really stretches. And when we overcome some of these things, God is actually causing us to grow in the midst of adversity. So in this time right now, there's only going to be one thing. If we respond well to what God is doing, rest assured, God is with us. No need to fear. Amen? There's no need to fear because if you and I have an assignment from God, if you and I have a job that God has designed for us and we have to fulfill this job, then rest assured that we will stay on this earth until this job has been accomplished. But let's submit our lives to the Lord and have a desire to fulfill it. And surely nothing will take us home before time. We will finish our assignment. We will live and we will not die in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So we take authority over the spirit of fear this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this whenever. And we cast you out right now in Jesus' name. even in this place, but even we speak on behalf right now of our nation. God, as your church, we stand strong. We stand strong and we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're shaking everything that can be shaken, God, so that I can let go of the things that I need to let go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, may we consider our own ways and repent where we need to repent right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. With a melody, you surround me. With a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Shandra Mangabrian, Lord, I need you, Lord, I need you. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You ransomed me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Oh, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Yes, Lord, we stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. As I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Okay. All right, let me just... I just want to give some practical things that we can do. Just won't take very long, okay? Just a few things here that I believe that we can do in this time right now, in this time where there's fear going around everywhere. But what can we do as Christians, okay? So number one, okay, just keep praising the name of Jesus. Keep praising the greatest name, okay? So personal time, just praise His name. And I challenge you to look at what the name of Jesus means. Go and look, search the scriptures, all right? Ask the Lord, what is so beautiful, what is so powerful about your name? And praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Declare that He is good and His mercy endures forever, because our praise is powerful. God, just demonstrate how much He acts and responds to the praise of His people. Can you say amen? Number one, so keep praising Him. Keep giving thanks and praise and worship, number one. And number two, thing we can do is thank the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know, and we encourage, even as a prophetic word, even something that we've been emphasizing in the last maybe 6 months or how many months, I can't remember, but take Holy Communion. Take Holy Communion, or if you don't have, at least just, you know, remember and do that exchange, even if you may not have the actual bread or the cup, but I'm sure you can find something. And thank the blood of Jesus. There's power in the precious blood of Jesus. There's protection, there's safety. His blood speaks loud for us. Can you say amen? So that's number two we can do. Keep praying. Number three, keep praying in the spirit language. Keep praying in the spirit language, okay? Now, this is going to go beyond our mind. We need to keep praying in the Spirit. Keep ourselves strong. Edify ourselves. Speak from the Spirit, man, until something breaks. Amen? The Holy Spirit, okay, is the seal of the covenant. God sealed us with His Holy Spirit. And by right of this seal, we are His. Therefore, we are protected. The enemy has no right to touch us. Unless we give him the right. But as far as belonging to the Lord God, he has put his seal on us and we are safe and secure. So keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is our protector, is our safety. Even if you read the book of Revelation, there are many, many, many more inside. That's why as the leadership is encouraging the church people to go and read the book of Revelation. And we may not understand everything, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is working at this point to give us the ability. So everybody, what's the first thing we said? Keep praising the name of Jesus. Number two, praise and thank His blood. Thank His blood. Take Holy Communion. Number three, pray in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. Number four, I would say even wait in His presence. We got to move more and more into is just wait. Because right now there's so much, you know, noise and, you know, and God is really calling us, hey, be still and know that I am God. So this one here, number four. And now the fifth one is what we're encouraging is, you know, maybe find some time and let's fast. Skip a meal or do something or whatever. If you can fast a whole day, whatever it is, just ask the Lord, just do according to the measure that you can. But let's just do something. So couple the prayer with some fasting. Can we say amen to that? So I believe these are practical things we as Christians can do at this time. All right, simple things and trust in the Lord. Another thing is hold fast our confession. Just keep declaring what God is saying. I don't know, that's point number six. I can't end on six. We need number seven. Who can give me a point number seven? Keep the word. Yeah, stay in the word. Stay in the word. Hear what God is saying. Hear what the prophets are saying and start to declare what God is saying over the noise that's going on out there, which we won't be able to stop, but yet we know that we can be safe and secure in this time as we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you say amen? We keep those seven things, okay? If you need this somehow, ask one another, encourage one another, share the points to one another, but let's do something practical out of this today. Don't just take this as a message this morning. I think it's something that we really need to awaken, do something, change something, shift something in our life. And I like what Amy was sharing in the prayer meeting this morning. I'm not sure if I remember all the R's, but there's refire, realign, and reset. Reset, realign. I just said the opposite, right? So reset, realign, refire, and resurrection life. Resurrect, okay? Awaken. Amen? Amen. We just speak that right now in Jesus' name. We speak a great awakening in this church and in our nation right now in Jesus' mighty name. Refire us by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. We praise you and your blood. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're with us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're saying. And we're going to hold fast our confession without wavering, the confession of our hope in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise and a clap offering right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to conclude here. We're still going to pray for people. If you need prayer, there's just going to be some tea and coffee on the other side through the ushers. We'll lead you through to it. Mingle with one another. If you need prayer, leadership, stay in the Lord. All things will work out for good to those who love him. Amen.